This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The Human Rights Watch recently published its World Report 2015, an annual review of human rights practices worldwide, which reflects investigative work on events in 2014. Malaysia's report highlights several violations, including those towards refugees and asylum seekers. I have with me Richard Toll, representative for the UNHCR in Malaysia, to explain how the current refugees in the country are treated, including those who came here during the migrant crisis earlier this year. We will also talk about the first batch of Syrian refugees who arrived in Malaysia on Tuesday. Mr. Toll, let's start with talking about the refugees who are currently in Malaysia. Where are they mostly from?
Most of the refugees under our care are from Myanmar, about 93 or 94% of them. Recently, the population that's of greatest concern to us from Myanmar are Rohingya, who have been leaving Rakhine State, where the situation of insecurity has been very high and very difficult for them, and that's the main push factor that's driven them from their countries and homes towards Malaysia.
And is Malaysia a transit point for them, or is it their final destination?
There's no rule about that. Malaysia has been a transit country in the past for certain refugees, but it's also a place of destination as well for many, many refugees who've come here specifically to find protection and better support than they can in their own countries.
And what is the status of refugees living in the country right now? Are they able to work and are they given healthcare?
All refugees in Malaysia are treated as illegal migrants under the law of the country. And because they're here illegally, they have no rights or entitlements whatsoever. They're not allowed to work legally. They have no access to the school system. Those who have registered with UNHCR do have some limited access to the public health care system, which we support through medical insurance schemes of a private nature. But by and large, refugees are treated as illegal migrants. We do our best to protect them within that environment, but the legal status is one of illegality.
So over 20% of these refugees in the country are below the age of 18. These refugees do not have access to healthcare or education either then?
They're not allowed into the mainstream schools, and so we've been working very closely with civil society and NGOs and others to set up a parallel education system in the private sector, and we support 127 learning centres around Malaysia where a number of thousands of children are able to go to school and at least get some basic level of education, but that's not in the mainstream schooling system.
And these refugees that are in the country, which states are they mostly in?
It's largely an urban refugee phenomenon. So most people are living in city areas, and most of those are in the Klang Valley here around Kuala Lumpur. And many are indeed working unlawfully.
So these refugees with the UNHCR cards, they're working illegally? Or do you mean refugees
Nobody
in general?
Nobody is allowed to work lawfully. The UNHCR ID card is simply that. It's only an identity card provided by our organisation in the absence of any legal documentation provided by the government. We very much hope that this will change. We think that there's very powerful arguments why a regular system of registration is in everybody's interest in Malaysia. We think that if you register refugees and allow them to work, then you will vastly improve their ability to look after themselves and protect themselves from exploitation. You will allow them to be much more productive members of society in Malaysia because they're going to be here anyway. And you will allow the government to start dealing with difficult challenges around law and order and security and criminality because you know who they are and where they're living.
All right, let's move on to the 2015 migrant crisis. Back in May, during the height of the refugee crisis, which saw the migration of thousands of Rohingya people from Myanmar and Bangladesh, Malaysia and Indonesia agreed to shelter 7,000 refugees and migrants. However, both governments made clear their assistance was temporary and they would not take any more than that. What has happened to these refugees that Malaysia took in?
The total number of people, as we understand it, who came to Malaysia on boats in that period was 1,177, and most of those were Bangladeshis who have gone home. So the net number of refugees from that whole crisis for Malaysia was only 377, or roughly that sort of number. So a very, very modest, small number of people in that total crisis ever ended up in Malaysia seeking help. Now, regrettably, they're all still in detention. We're trying to get them out of detention. We think that absolutely, their protection needs require them to be looked after in the community, but for the time being, they're in detention.
being in detention, are they given regular health checks or do they have any rights at all?
Well, they're treated like all other illegal migrants who have been detained, who have broken the law. We don't have regular access to them. They do have psychosocial health issues that have arisen because of the trauma of the journeys and their treatment in their own country. So the sooner they're released from detention and can be properly treated by appropriate social service organizations, the better. We don't think it's in anybody's interest for them to be kept in detention.
Does it look like they would actually allow the UNHCR to go in and help them?
We've registered them and we've been asking for them to be released, but so far that hasn't been given to them. The only information we've had is that they'll be released only if they're resettled to a third country, and of course that poses enormous difficulties for us because that requires a third country to be involved, and we don't have a third country able to take resettlement of this particular group at the moment.
And this is normal practice for Malaysia? Has Malaysia been doing this to all the refugees that have come into the country?
No, it's not normal practice here. Normally, if people are arrested and our office intervenes, we're able to register them and negotiate for their release, and by and large people are released. We were able successfully and with the help of the Malaysian government to release over 9,000 people last year from detention, people who are desperately in need of refugee protection. We were able to help through release to get them into the care of social welfare and other kinds of support services that are required. But this particular group that were detained in May of this year are still in detention and we've been unable to secure their release.
Amnesty International's records show human traffickers halt crossings during the monsoon season and resume once the weather clears. Can we expect the same situation within the next few months after the current monsoon season clears?
There was clearly a huge drop-off in the arrival numbers after May, and I think that was partly due to the inclement weather and also because of the crackdown by governments in the region trying to deal with the egregious acts of smuggling and trafficking through the region. I think that was a positive set of cooperation by governments. Now the weather is better. Clearly there is an opportunity for people to start leaving from Myanmar and Bangladesh again by boat, and we understand there have been increase in boat numbers coming towards Malaysia. There have been some numbers, not as high as we had expected, but certainly an increase in numbers. But it's very difficult to say because there is no statistical analysis or record keeping as to the numbers of people arriving. That's why we think it's very important to have a proper registration system so that the government knows who's coming in and who they are.
So Malaysia doesn't currently have a proper registration system then?
There is no registration system for refugees that's owned by the government. It's entirely UNHCR, and of course people we register are only those ones we manage to come across in the course of our work, and that's not everybody, particularly people coming by boat. So we think that the whole system really needs an overhaul and a review.
Now, the first batch of Syrian refugees arrived in Malaysia. This comes after Prime Minister Najib Razak agreed to accept over 3,000 skilled Syrian refugees. This sparked concern, namely because of Putrajaya's handling of the refugees who are currently in this country. Has the UNHCR and the Malaysian government held talks about the issue?
We've had some discussions on the general modus operandi, if you like, of how a resettlement program of this magnitude might be managed, but our organization was not involved in the selection or the movement of the people who came last night.
Will the UNHCR be working with the government to ensure they receive adequate care?
If we're invited to be involved in the program of resettlement, then of course that will be part of the area of work. But at the moment, we haven't been invited to participate in the program. So as we do for governments around the world, we stand ready to assist when we're invited.
The refugees who entered the country last night, they arrived through applications made by their family members who have been working here for the past 3 years. Is this standard practice?
I can't comment on it because we're not involved in the selection or the movement of those people. It's not a normal multilateral resettlement program. A multilateral resettlement program is normally managed by UNHCR, our organization, and the International Organization of Migration, working in close cooperation with the host country, which in the case of Syrians would be Turkey, Jordan, Egypt and one or two other countries in that region. And then we would be normally involved in the identification of people most at risk, most in need of resettlement, and then assist in their movement towards a resettlement country. That's what we do for tens of thousands of people each year, and it's a service we offer governments. The arrangement, as we understand it, was a different arrangement. That was one that was managed by the government of Malaysia, and people were brought in under a different set of arrangements. arrangements that we're not aware of, we haven't been privy to.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Today is International Human Rights Day, and it's a time to recognise that the situation for refugees are best protected if they're given the right to live here lawfully and to work lawfully in the country.
That was Richard Toll, representative for the UNHCR in Malaysia. I'm Cheryl Kaur, reporting for BFM.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.